At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day Sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Welcome, everybody, to Redacted. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
And our pronouns are question everything. We don't have all of the answers, but thank you for seeking the truth with us. We tend to cover the stories the mainstream media largely ignores. Tonight, we're going to look at how the United States is prepping for war. There are some real clear indications on the military side. We're going to look at how the U.S. Army is prepping for this, how the Biden administration is getting ready for war in the Middle East. Are you ready? Are you ready to be drafted, perhaps?
Plus, it's been found out that Texas is paying for sex changes for prisoners. Why is this happening? Is it a compassionate thing to do? Should this happen on taxpayer dollars? And where do you draw the line? This is not as obvious a story as you think.
And we got the trans shooter manifesto out of Nashville, Tennessee, leaked documents. But I think a lot of people are missing the real story here. Of course, they're going after Steven Crowder. They're going after conservative media. And there's sort of back and forth on all of this. But I want to get to the real heart of this story, which we're going to talk about tonight on the show. All of that and so much more as Redacted starts right now. Called it the Transfesto in the chat. Transfesto, I like that. Yeah, Frank Rizzo, the Transfesto. Hey, welcome everyone to Redacted. I'm Clayton, that's Natalie. If you subscribe to the channel here during the show, your name will pop up here on the big screen and also on the lower third graphic. And thanks to our team for doing amazing work here with all the new graphics. So thanks to Grim. Thanks for the whole team, Philip and David, for putting all these together. I should point out we're nearing 2.2 million subscribers on YouTube. Thank you guys for subscribing. And on Rumble, of course, nearing that 500,000 mark, which is amazing. So thank you guys so much from the bottom of our hearts.
When we get to the story about disinformation and how the government censors Americans as well as people overseas, you're going to see exactly how hard it is to get to 2.2 million users, especially when we're up against such terrible censorship. So thank you for being here. Thank you for finding your way here, even though we are often accused of wrong think. But we're here to just question stories, go through facts, and we're open to all sides, all opinions.
That's right.
So that also is what you get if you subscribe to our newsletter. The Redacted newsletter is totally free. You don't sign up and then we, you know, upsell you and ask you to subscribe to more things. Free is free. That's what I'm going to say about that. So put in your email address at redacted.einc and click sign up for the newsletter, and then you'll get an authentication email. Click yes, I want this. You'll get a lot of the stories that we talk about in this show so that you could read them for yourself, links to original sources, and you'll get more as well because we want you to read these things for yourself. We're going to give you as much information as we think is necessary for you to find your own way to your own train of thought, your own opinion. And we want you to have all of the resources at the touch of a finger. So it's also a great way to sort of save news because so much news now is so manipulative in the mainstream media. So if we say something that we didn't mean to, we say we're sorry, we don't go back and delete things. So yeah, the Redacted newsletter, we work really hard on it. It comes out every Monday through Thursday, the same days that you get this show.
That's right. Laserman 300 says, Clayton, why is it that Natalie always looks like she's so disappointed in you? Love the show. Thank you for the great work that you both do. I don't think you look disappointed.
Where
in
do
me.
You see that comment?
From Laserman 300.
Oh,
I don't know. Why did that? Yeah.
That comment crashed our screen.
Yeah, we literally crashed our screen.
I don't know.
I think you're seeing things. I think she's never disappointed in me. In fact, I think she's honored and thrilled to always be in my presence every day.
This is true. Yeah. I'm not very good with sincere faces.
Yeah. I mean, literally, I just walk into a room and she's like, oh my God, thank God you're here. Like it's thrilling.
I'm so glad you showed up.
Yeah, exactly. So don't fall for that face. Good to see all of you guys. Let us know where you're joining us from around the world. Frank, Rizzo, Star Sun. Let us know where you guys are joining us from. Yes, we are married. How's that tea?
It's burning me. It burned my tongue and it burned my... So this was not a good idea. It's a bit cold now. We're moving into November.
So don't spill it on any computers, okay?
Okay. All right. I'm just going to hold on to it, and we're going to get to the news. We're ready if you're ready.
All right. We're ready. Let's do it. Well, the United States, which has a massive military recruiting problem, is actively prepping for war in the Middle East. All evidence is pointing in that direction. So we're going to show you that evidence here in a moment. But here's a question. Would you be comfortable sending your son or daughter to die in the Middle East right now? So you have to ship them off to fight in Gaza, to fight in Israel, to fight in Iran, to fight in Saudi Arabia, to fight in Egypt. Would you be okay with sending your American son or daughter off to die in the Middle East?
Well, let's reframe the question based on how it has been in the last 20 years. And the class and race of people who have been dying in the Middle East for America's endless war. So would you be willing to send poorer people for this war? Maybe not your kid, but maybe underclassed people that you don't have to see every day. Would you be okay with that? Because that's how we have been living.
Right. Unless we guess we have a draft. But I mean, your son or daughter or poor people or lower class individuals who are not as well off perhaps as you are. Would you be okay with that? Let's rewind.
Well, we have been okay with that. That's how we have been living.
I think we have been okay with that. I think the government has been okay with that.
Collectively, that's how we have been living.
Okay. So, yeah, let us know in the comments below if you're okay with America's sons or daughters going off to fight in the Middle East. Let's rewind the clock, though, first on all of this. As soon as President Biden took office, he immediately reversed President Trump's ban on transgender soldiers. Immediately. Here was John Kirby announcing the re-rollout of the transgender plan.
That's exactly right, Andrea. In 2016, the Obama administration opened up service to transgender people to not only be recruited, but to be trained and to be put in the field and into the fleet and to be treated like everybody else in the military. The Trump administration reversed that policy. And today, President Biden is putting the 2016 approach back into effect.
Okay. So then earlier this year, the Biden administration and the United States military then doubled down on their diversity recruitment efforts. Of course, you'll recall the recruiting. Forget about recruiting for white people. Like that is so old school. We don't recruit for white people anymore. That's so World War II. No, instead, if you're a transgender person or you're overweight, you're welcome to join the U.S. military. We'll accept you with open arms. And heck, if you're a transgender, overweight Asian person, then step right up. Because American taxpayers will even pay for your gender reassignment surgeries, as we reported here on the show.
You don't have to be Asian.
No, but I'm just trying to be as diverse as possible. Can you be overweight, Asian, transgender? And then, man, you're going to go right to the head of the class. So newly released documents, of course, show the United States military's policy on transgender members includes provisions to skip deployments altogether and receive indefinite waivers for grooming, physical fitness, and drug testing indefinitely. So the Biden policy says the military must provide what it calls medically necessary transgender hormones. Okay, medically necessary. And surgery. Medically necessary transgender surgery. If the person is in the process of transitioning, they will be considered non-deployable. Like that person can't go and fight. This means that a person can join the military, receive taxpayer-funded sex change procedures such as breast removal, breast additions, laser hair removal, voice feminization surgery to sound more like a woman, facial contouring, body contouring, and genital reassignment and more, all the while not reporting for active duty. So you can just rest up while they cut your balls off.
The document does say, just give this little caveat, that the U.S. government doesn't have, it doesn't have the capability to do laser hair removal. So you might have to go off campus for that.
Really?
Because they're not, they're not like a Clinique counter.
But ball
that's
removal.
That's the one thing they can't do. Like the military medical centers can do most of this, but they don't.
Can we just get a military with some freaking laser beams, please?
Can we get some Brazilian military doctors in there?
It is a big issue for transgender, trans-identified women, I'm going to call them biological men, who want to go and get their nether regions waxed, because a lot of waxers won't do that because the skin on balls is so much thinner. Sorry, I just said balls. And this is something that creates a lot of litigation, has in Canada, because these trans people say, I am a woman, you must wax my lady garden. And these waxers are saying, you're a man, I work in my out of my home, you cannot come here. There's a waxer in Canada who's been absolutely harassed for refusing to wax a transgender Brazilian man because, one, she works out of her home alone, and two, she's afraid that she's going to rip him open. There's a visual for you. I hope you're not eating. And he sued her and he took her to court, and she's been harassed ever since.
So as Grimm says, who's a veteran on our team, says it's a great way to afford the surgery. Just join the military.
Yeah.
So that's absolutely right. So
you know, I would really love to trace the money to see just how much the Biden and Obama actually have taken from the pharmaceutical industry. Because if you look at what they did during COVID and you look at this, this is all in favor of the pharmaceutical industry. Make no mistake, this 100% pads the pockets of the pharmaceutical industry.
Of course.
Well, we're going to talk in a minute about how they absolutely tortured Chelsea Manning, but then did give him hormones, why the Obamacare is really responsible for the administration of cross-sex hormones. There is a reason behind that.
So that's the Biden's U.S. military policy. If you're transgendered, the military may be a good place for you, of course, because they will let you out of deployment and pay for your sex change. Oh, and they'll also let you out of physical fitness standards, by the way. We don't want you doing any push-ups or pull-ups because that might interfere with your new breasts, I suppose. What about drag queens? Well, last year, the U.S. Navy hired a new spokesman, Joshua Kelly. You might remember. There he is. There he is in his naval uniform. And then here he is in his other clothes. That's him right there, Yeoman Second Class Joshua Kelly, whose stage name is Harvey Daniels, announced on TikTok in November, of course, that he would be the Navy's first digital ambassador. Watch. Yeah, there he is. He says, since then, I've been an advocate for the LGBT community in the military. And we can't play it because of the music. We'll get copyrighted. But there he is, talking about all the people who've been oppressed for years in the service, who love to be drag queens, and now we can stand out and be proud about it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, that's perfect, because then they don't have to be deployed because they can just stay home and do this stuff. They can make TikToks for the military to encourage enlistment.
Well,
hey, enlist in the military and get your bits.
You saw Captain America. When you got someone who looks as good as that, they can't go to the battlefield. They have to go on propaganda tours and march on stages and stuff. So this is the new version of Captain America, who will do a tour.
Yeah, do a drag queen tour.
A recruitment tour.
So it's probably not a shock then that the United States military has continued its failure to reach its recruitment goals. So we've seen massive declines in recruitment and really far lower than the levels needed to sustain an active military. Earlier this year, the United States Army ramped up its diversity recruiting efforts, making sure to feature no white people in their recruiting ads. Again, if you're a black woman or Asian man, the U.S. Army wants you. Or an Asian woman chess player, then you're perfect for the U.S. Army. Watch.
You think knowledge is a powerful weapon? Here, you'll have plenty of ammo. We turn intelligence into tactical success. Explore more than 200 careers at GoArmy.com.
Yeah, okay, so if you play chess, the U.S. Army wants you. Preferably if you're Asian, though, not white.
So you can play a board game and, like, kill little wooden characters, or right. you could play that in real life and kill real people.
Right. So that was the underpoint,
just like they said.
Yeah, that's the undercurrent of that ad, right? Which is like, you want to play with like pawns, you want to knock over bishops. Come on, we're going to give you real ammo, and you can go after,
you can kill real people.
You can go kill really, you know, real people. Here's another army recruitment video under the Biden administration. This is recent, by the way. I mean, this is only a few months old. This one, they use cartoons and gay pride to draw you in and recruit you.
It begins in California with a little girl raised by two moms. I also marched for equality. I like to think I've been defending freedom from an early age. When I was 6 years old, one of my moms had an accident that left her paralyzed. But she tapped into my family's pride to get back on her feet, eventually standing at the altar to marry my other mom. And after meeting with an army recruiter, I found it. A way to prove my inner strength. I'm U.S. Army Corporal Emma Malone Lord, and I answered my calling.
Yeah.
So what is her mom? What does that have to do with anything?
Exactly. But they want to highlight the fact that she's she has lesbian moms.
Okay.
So that's the whole point.
And that she's been fighting for freedom since she was 6 years old.
Right.
Oh, freedom of the LGBTQ people. And actually, it looked like when she was jumping over that wall, it almost looked like it said LGBTQ on her military shirt.
Yeah, might have. Good eye.
So if you have straight parents, you don't have that same motivation.
Right. Yeah. Clearly, you're only. Yeah, the strength comes from having two lesbian moms. Like, that's how you get your strength, right? So here's another diversity ad they rolled out this year. See if you can spot the token white people in a bus full of diversity on their way to join the military. Asian, black. Oh, redheaded. Because that's nothing says white like redheaded. It's like Brave from Disney. He's a white guy. So it's all about diversity. That's what these ads have been like over the past year and a half to 2 years. It's been all about diversity. And we've just showed you some of the lighter versions of it. There's actually been some more extreme versions of it, by the way. Well, something just changed after Israel launched an invasion of Gaza, after Hamas launched a military strike on October 7th that put all eyes on the Middle East. The U.S. military is prepping for war in the Middle East. Clearly and definitively, the U.S. is preparing troops for potential deployment in Israel, positioning Ohio-class nuclear submarines in the Middle East, a violation of international law, American special forces on the ground, U.S. bases being used to house thousands of American soldiers. So the U.S. has even announced the arrival of the nuclear submarine. Like, they posted on Twitter, like, let us know. We're ready to go. Active deployment, calling up reserves. The USS Florida submarine is back. The same nuclear submarine, by the way, that destroyed Libya in 2011. Yes, this very same submarine led to the U.S. assassination of Gaddafi. So you see where this is all going. So yesterday, the United States Army rolled out a brand new recruiting advertisement. Interestingly, that it was all timed this way, and it's totally different, by the way. See if you can spot what's totally different about these new Army recruitment ads. Wow. Do you guys notice anything odd about that video?
That where they were landing was surrounded by water?
No, you missed it. But Twitter exploded on this. Here's just a few responses. Here's Bashar al-Assad's PR department. I love this Twitter handle. Bashar al-Assad's PR department says, can't hit those recruitment goals, so you're trying to reach out to Midwestern and Southern white guys again, huh? Of course, that was what they always did. Raw Egg Nationalist says, the advert is full of white men. Dog, we're going to war. Here's another one. White dudes back in the ads. Things are getting serious. And it goes on. There are no women in this advertisement. Why is that at U.S. Army? Indian Bronson writes.
I think there might have been when they're walking off the field. I thought I spotted a woman.
I didn't see any women. I didn't see any women. We can play it back.
I don't want to watch it again.
Mark Dice says, where are all the drag queens you've been recruiting for the last few years? This ad gets an F in diversity. Jack Montgomery says, noticing an unusual lack of forced diversity here. What are you plotting? To the U.S. Army. Pete D'Ambrosca says, no time for diversity, now it's wartime, huh, guys?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I mean, and that was the overwhelming response. Just read through, just go to the U.S. Army's YouTube channel and just read through the tens of thousands of responses all saying the same thing. Sudden lack of diversity. Sudden focus on this instead. It's remarkable, actually, how there's a sudden lack of diversity in these new Army recruiting ads. Yeah, I guess it's a racist ad. So I guess maybe people will flag that ad on U.S. Army's website on YouTube as racist
against, you know,
against white, because that's what they love to do, right? So
I suppose
too many white people in this ad. Where's Disney? Disney should step in they do with Snow White,
Pandaverse,
like with Snow White, and yeah, exactly, and step in and put, you know, like a black woman in Snow White's role.
Sure.
Or something like that.
All right.
Where is Kathleen Kennedy? What is it? Kathleen Kennedy?
Yeah.
It's Kathleen Kennedy. Yeah. Let us know your thoughts on this. Yes, I do have a cold. Who's your daddy says, do you have a cold? Yes, I do. It's really troubling to see these recruitment videos, but also the movement towards a military draft. Of course, the U.S. Army War College publishing that paper just a few weeks ago on the draft perspective. And if you can't hit these recruitment goals and you're planning to go to war in China, you're planning a Middle East war, you're planning another front against Russia, how the hell are you going to hit those recruitment numbers? A draft is the answer, right? So the diversity trans videos didn't work. So maybe going back to your core will work again. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I read Chelsea Manning's book, and he did say that Don't Ask, Don't Tell was really upsetting to him, and that he felt like he couldn't be fully supportive of the American military because of these gay policies. So he also made it sound like the military was a great way to get dates and hook up if you're a gay man. So I wonder if there is this large contingency of people that felt like, well, I would go into the military, but my gayness. And so this, like, is opening up the door to that. I don't know, because the first part of his book is so much about his sort of quest for hooking up that it's not a real, you know, I can't tell. I'm not sure. I'm going to talk about him later as we talk about sex payers. Sex changes on taxpayer dollars, not sex payers.
That's the best contraction ever.
Those are called Johns.
Yes.
That's the best contraction ever. Sex payers.
Not that. We're going to get to that. We're going to talk about paying for gender reassignment surgery on taxpayer dollars. We also are going to talk about, what is this, shooting down double standards when it comes to reporting and talking about mass shootings. And we're going to talk about how the government is censoring all of us. The Department of Homeland Security thinks it's keeping us safe by censoring our thought and speech. All of that and more. But first,
we want to tell you about our friends over at Nom Nom. You know, we love our doggies. I'm not feeling so good. I've got a cold. You know, the kids, when you got three kids, they bring stuff home. And so I've just had this cold. My son had this cold. And so today my dog Grover was just sitting on my lap for most of the afternoon while I was working on the show today and doing research. And he just sitting there. He was cold outside. And, you know, I just love my doggy. And you know what? So do the folks over at Nom Nom, because your pet is a member of the family. Don't feed them like they're in the doghouse. Give them Nom Nom, delivered right to your door. They deliver fresh dog food with every portion personalized to your dog's needs so you can bring out their best. Nom Nom is made with real whole food that you can see and recognize without any additives or fillers that contribute to bloating or low energy. If David saw it, he'd probably say, hey, that's my lunch. Thank you for bringing it over. And he would probably eat it because it's that good. I probably would too. Try nom.com.
I won't.
Yeah.
I won't admit to tasting a fingerful.
See, he admits it right here. Trynom.com/redacted. You get 50% off your no risk 2-week trial delivered right to your door. No fillers, no nonsense, not filled with grain and all that other garbage that causes the joint pain and all that stuff. Just Nom Nom. Plus, it comes with a money back guarantee. So if your dog's not happy about it, if you're not happy like David is wagging his tail in 30 days, they'll refund your first order. So go right now, 50% off your no-risk 2-week trial at trynom.com. That's trynom.com/redacted. That's nom.com/redacted to get 50% off. trynom.com/redacted.
That cute little white dog looks like my grandma's dog, Bits.
Bits?
What we called it. He's
cute.
To Bits was his name, but Bits by short. All right.
Excuse me.
All right. You need a minute?
I need a minute.
Okay.
Yeah, you guys can.
Go on without you.
No. I saw someone saying in the chat a moment ago, Philip, David, maybe you guys can confirm this. Our store, redactedstore.com, someone was saying they tried to order like one of our hoodies and like Google flagged the website as dangerous. Are you freaking kidding me?
What?
Yeah. I just saw someone in the chat say that it flagged the website as dangerous. It's a store where you can buy hoodies. For crying out loud.
Dangerous hoodies.
Yeah. Redactedstore.com.
Let's look at the danger.
Wow, that's dangerous. You can get a mug. You can get a mug.
If you hung that flag up, somebody would see that. That's dangerous, dude.
Friends don't let friends watch mainstream media.
Yeah. Peace shirts are very dangerous.
Yeah.
Wearing shirts about Pete's.
Well, we do know that Gmail flags our newsletter as dangerous, and they send you a warning that when you sign up for our newsletter, it says danger, which is a newsletter about the truth in the world. So anyway, thank you. We'll check on that and we'll find out what the heck's going on there. I'll ask our developers on that side. So thank you for that.
Well, the state of Texas has paid for at least 2 sex changes for prisoners. This came out at a hearing on Tuesday where Representative Troy Nels tore into the Bureau of Prisons Director Colette Peters. He's a little bombastic, but watch this exchange anyway because we can definitely learn from it.
I say I'm a man. I'm a woman now, and I haven't had any surgeries up to this point. Maybe I'll get them while I'm in prison because I'm assuming we're paying for those, right?
We have paid for 2 gender-affirming surgeries.
Hey, 2. So once you start, you're going to continue. You ain't changing that, right?
There are 5.
I mean, look at this guy. This is an interesting guy, folks. Look at this guy. His name is Peter Langan. He got long hair. Look at this guy. He looks like a bad, bad guy. He is a bad guy. He's a Nazi, ex-Nazi terrorist. He's a bad, bad hombre. And this guy wants to be referred to as Donna. Do your employees, do you really require them to say, call this guy now named, he must be called Donna?
Congressman, no, and in fact, in order to produce a name change.
Well, he's suing you all because he's claiming that his 8th Amendment rights were violated for not being provided gender-conforming surgery. For the people at home, this man is an ex-Nazi bank robber. In June, his lawsuit was settled, and I'd like to know whether this means that inmates now have the 8th Amendment right to sex changes. Are we paying for guys like this who are just sick? We send them to prison, we're restricting their freedom, and now this guy says he wants to be Donna. I suppose I understand why he'd want to be Donna, because you want to release this guy into the pen of heifers. You're releasing the stud into the pen of heifers is what you're doing. Isn't that what a guy would want to do? If I'm going to prison for 10 years and you're restricting my freedom, I guess I would want to go to the prison where the ladies are. Wouldn't you suggest that? Wouldn't that be a good idea? And if you're allowing that to take place through this process by talking to these shrinks and these guys, I'm going to convince you I'm a woman and I'm going to enjoy 5 years in prison. Matter of fact, half of them would probably say, don't even release me on patrol. I'm having too much fun here. I'm having too much fun. It is disgusting, quite honestly, what we've done to this, to our country. Biden, 3 daughters. I have some real issues. They're very troubling. You can do better than that. I yield.
Jeez.
Thank you, Mr.
All right. Well, like I said, that was a bit bombastic, but there's some serious issues here, such as why would sex changes happen on taxpayer dollars? Why would taxpayers have to pay for this for prisoners? Now, a lot of times, the way that cross-sex hormones are administered is a result of Obamacare. So the Affordable Care Act says that you cannot withhold hormonal birth control. Even without parental consent, you still have to give that, right? And so the argument that lawyers have used is that you can't give hormones to only one gender, that the issuance of hormonal birth control means that everyone should have access to cross-sex hormones as well. And that's at least the way it's used in California. But why would this be something that we should offer to transgender inmates? Now, the argument is that they use is that it is cruel to deny someone gender affirmation, meaning if they say they're a different gender and we're forcing them to live as that gender because they came in with that genitalia, then we're not affirming their identity, and that is cruel.
Also, but they're in prison. So we're forcing them to be in prison because they murdered someone or carried out a bank robbery?
Right, but I don't think that we should use, like, we don't deny prisoners dignity. We don't make them walk around naked and whip them, right? They're allowed dignity. The argument that they're using is that this is undignified for a gender dysphoric person.
So then, okay, well then where do you draw the line then? You could say
right,
it's undignified that they should be able to watch 8 hours of television a day. It's undignified that they have bars that are inhibiting their view of the mountains, right?
Right.
That's undignified.
You could also say that someone who is otherwise body dysphoric because they're obese, maybe someone who's obese and feels dysphoric about their body because of the obesity should say, well, then I should have bariatric surgery. Because it's cruel,
right.
That same argument applies. Someone who maybe identifies as someone with bigger boobs but doesn't in fact have bigger boobs should say, I should get those boobs because I'm very dysphoric with this flat chest. Someone who is anorexic, right, could go ahead, Philip, were you going to say something?
No, I was going to tag on like what you're saying. It's like this is universal health care in the U.S. It's
yes.
Just go to prison and you've got it.
Right.
Whatever you need, you got
like
it.
Like I can only survive on prime rib 3 times a day. If I don't get it, I identify as a meat eater. So
right. And so
I'll die.
Well, actually that's a good point. Like if you say I need only like microgreens and it's undignified otherwise. Like so how do we choose this? Now, this is the same case that was made by Chelsea Manning while in a US prison. While serving time in a man's prison, Bradley Manning became convinced that he was trans, and his lawyers argued for cross-sex hormones. They argued that not giving these cross-sex hormones was cruel. He details this in his book. He eventually wins and gets them, but he never does get transferred to a woman's prison. Now, the thing that broke my heart about this story is that while doing the important work of a whistleblower, you may not know his story, he provided Julian Assange the footage and documentation of the atrocities that the United States was committing abroad in the Middle East, specifically in Iraq. He had a really extraordinary punishment for having done that. So it's interesting that the U.S. Army has all of these like trans-friendly videos. We love trans people, but had 5 to 7, almost 10 years of torturing Chelsea Manning. That's conveniently left out of that. I think that Chelsea Manning was really brave and tough and resilient. They put him in solitary. They withheld food. They withheld information from him. They took him places, didn't tell him where he was going. Denied due process in a lot of different ways. And he took it, forgive the expression, but he took it like a man. He was brave, and no one can deny that. But then when he won his case for cross-sex hormones, he broke down. He writes about being anxious, depressed, put on suicide watch. There's a bug in front of me. It really broke down the natural mental strength that it took for Chelsea Manning to survive up to that point. And he talks about how there's no research showing just how these hormones are going to work on you. So he just really broke down and they had to watch him. So this really tough person who'd been through a really hard imprisonment and torture and all of this stuff, then wins a case to weaken his mental resolve and resiliency and does that to himself. And it's heartbreaking because up to that point in this book, you're kind of like, don't make this harder on yourself than it already is. It's really hard to root for that. So even if you think that, oh, this is a nice thing to do for someone because you're respecting their gender identity, there's no research that shows that. And in fact, he was allowed on computers. So he was on online forums saying, like, once you get into these cross-sex hormones, it's going to feel awful for about a month or two. You're going to want to kill yourself. You're going to want to, you know, but just stick with it because it gets better. And then what, right? So it just proves that this is an experiment. So even if you think that this is a dignified way to treat prisoners, we just don't know because there is no research that shows that gender transition resolves gender dysphoria. So if you say you're dysphoric and you transition, that gender dysphoria persists. There's no research that shows that taking the hormones or changing your body makes you better. It doesn't.
If it did,
go ahead.
You wouldn't have the mass number of detransitioners you have today. I mean, there are more and more all the time. They try to hide them, but there are many.
Right. So you resolve nothing. So let's look at this prisoner that this congressman brought up. Because most of them have a history of sexual assault, the ones that are getting sex changes. This one, this Texas prisoner that Representative Nels referred to, is not a sexual predator. This is Donna Langan. While living as Peter Langan, he was convicted to life in prison plus 35 years in two separate trials for robbing two banks using firearms and a destructive device, assaulting federal officer, and further firearms charges. And then he sued to get the sex change and won. There, again, will be no follow-up on whether Donna Langan feels better now as a woman. Most likely not, because there's such a high rate of error depending on the degree of surgery, especially if it comes to genital reassignment surgery. That's a lifetime of discomfort and usually problems. Whether the hormones have resolved dysphoria, there's, you know, no one will follow up to see, do you feel better? Do you stick with it? In fact, I saw research recently that showed that I think it's between 50 and 70% of people who go on cross-sex hormones are not filling those prescriptions 4 years later. They're just not, because it hurts to mess with yourself like that. So put aside whether or not this is for prisoners or not, you know, we do have this shared value of not torturing prisoners. We don't make them walk naked or work naked or work, you know, we have this basic dignity value. So if it were basic dignity to change their sex, we could discuss it. But knowing how awful it is on the human body, we need to collectively agree that this is medical experimentation and not a dignified way to treat prisoners. And again, the question is, where do we draw the line? Because gender dysphoria is only one of very many types of body dysphoria. Some people have dysphoric for limbs, like they don't feel like their arm is a part of their body and they literally want to sever from it. And so do we help those people in the same way? Because a dysphoria is a dysphoria. Well, like Clayton there didn't like his left foot, so we had to take it off, right? Is this the right way to be thinking about compassionate ways to treat anybody, much less prisoners?
Yeah, let us know in the chat below. Great discussion. Thank you. And someone in the chat just said, I love the... This chat room is going on fire today. So thank you guys for your comments.
You decided not to read that one.
I was like, okay, that's a little far. I can't really say that out loud. Someone over on, because we were talking about the faces that you make at me. Someone just said, Dr. M. Bogo says, Natalie often makes a face when Clayton makes sexist, rude comments. Shouldn't all people make a face when I make a sexist, rude comment?
I mean, there were a lot today, so.
Did I make any sexist, rude comments today?
I mean,
did I?
We need to have a counter on the back screen.
That's true. Like, how many times I make a rude comment? I just don't suffer fools easily, you know? I saw someone earlier saying, hey, you know, if Redacted was right, we'd be in World War III by now. I don't know if you've looked around, but we currently are. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? Have you seen the world? Have you seen NATO literally sending hundreds of billions of dollars
into Ukraine? About?
What the hell are you talking about? U.S. bases are being attacked in the Middle East. What the hell do you call it? They don't want to give it a name on television, like the Weather Channel giving a named storm. Like, so
I was just going to say that. It's like, it's because they haven't named it yet.
Right.
So once they give it a name, war because they haven't called it that.
Right. Know? As soon as Fox News puts up a banner on the lower screen and says, we're calling this, you know, I don't know.
Desert Storm
the War
2.
Of the Axis or something like that. Axis of Evil War Part 1. I mean, then, well, oh, now we're at war officially.
Yeah.
You know, Congress literally declared war against, gave the president authorization to use military force and declare war against Iran. Like, oh my God, $180 billion to Ukraine so we can kill people. We're not at war. So get that out of your head. Hey, we got more news to get to here on your Wednesday. Does that qualify as a sexist, rude comment?
To me?
I don't know.
The screen didn't light up in the back, so you're good.
Oh, okay. So I'm good. All right, I'm good on that. Yeah. Just have like a little zinc, like something.
All right.
Fireworks.
Well, we're going to talk about the mass shooter who had a racist ideology that the mainstream media does not like. If they had a racist ideology that the mainstream media likes, might be a different story. Which one do you think that is? We're also going to talk about the government censoring information through social media and why social media is afraid of the government, just like we are. You know, things are bad when you're afraid of your government. But first, we want to tell you about our friends over at Upside, because every year we all pledge to save more and spend less. But how are you supposed to save when you're paying inflated prices for everyday essentials like gas and groceries? You just can't cut those purchases out of your budget. But now, thanks to our 2023 money back hack, you can get cash back from them with Upside. Upside is an incredible app for anyone who buys gas, groceries, or dines out. With Upside, I get cash back on every purchase. It's my secret weapon for staying on track with saving goals. You know, there's a great way to, you can either clip coupons if you want, or use this in order to collate all of your purchases. So you're not going to like Michael's with one card or Target with another. It's best to just put them all in one place. So to get started, download the free Upside app, use our promo code Redacted, and get an extra 25 cents cash back for every gallon on your first tank of gas. And next, claim an offer on whatever you're buying on Upside. Then they pay as usual with a credit or a debit card, and then follow the steps in the app and then just get paid. In fact, my mother-in-law was just telling me that she collects her Upside points, and then at the end, when she's got them all, they go to dinner at the end of the month. And so that's what they do. Yeah. So download the free Upside app and use promo code Redacted to get an extra 25 cents back for every gallon on your first tank of gas. That's an extra 25 cents back for every gallon on your first tank of gas by using Upside and using the promo code Redacted.
DJI RC Drone, I like your chat, says Redacted should put up stickers promoting that we are the real news. I, for one, would go out of my way to put them on windows and lampposts. And if you're a drone operator, can you imagine like RC Drone, DJI Drone guy is like sticking up Redacted stickers all over the place? Kind of like that.
Yeah, but kinda don't like vandalize.
But yeah, then I guess we'd be vandalizing. So then our name would be on it.
Yeah.
Like, who's all these Redacted stickers all over the place? You gotta
I'm
be careful.
Struggling to get this off. Can you open it for me?
Oh, you need a man to do that?
Wait, is it like, thank you.
There you go.
Ding.
That's right. Sexist comment. Do you need a man to do that?
I was so afraid that it was going to go all over me while we were live, but okay.
Yeah, that,
as you were.
We'll save that for later. Okay.
That was also uncalled
ding.
For.
Ding.
What's with you today?
I'm just trying. I'm on, you know, it's NyQuil. All right, let's get to it. Well, now we know why authorities covered up the manifesto left by the Nashville transgender mass murderer. It turns out the manifesto, which leaked online to Steven Crowder, given to him, frankly, it was filled with anti-white hatred, and it was a plan to kill white Christian people. That's why you haven't heard about this, of course. This is the opposite of what the Biden administration and Hillary Clinton say is the greatest threat to America. Remember, the greatest threat to America is MAGA extremism, white supremacy. This is what's causing America's great decline.
and there's something dangerous happening in America now. There's an extremist movement that does not share the basic beliefs in our democracy. The MAGA movement. Not every Republican, not even a majority of Republicans, adhere to the MAGA's extremist ideology. I know because I've been able to work with Republicans my whole career. But there's no question that today's Republican Party is driven and intimidated by MAGA Republican extremists. This MAGA threat is a threat to the brick and mortar of our democratic institutions.
Yeah. Here's Hillary Clinton saying these white supremacist MAGA extremists get their marching orders from one person. There's one leader.
And sadly, so many of those extremists, those MAGA extremists, take their marching orders from Donald Trump.
Yeah. And I love Christiane Amanpour. She puts out her hand during that interview. She's like, yes. Yes. I'm glad you said that. Yes. But how do, and then she says, well, how do they stop that? How do they stop listening to him?
That's well, this Christiane is the same interview where she says they need to be reprogrammed.
Yeah. Yeah. They need to be deprogrammed. That they've been programmed by Donald Trump and these MAGA extremists need to be deprogrammed. That way we can get, you know, we need to teach them like liberal values, I guess,
if
right?
We could
liberal
just values. Plug them into the matrix.
They need to be deprogrammed. Peyton Gendron wrote a manifesto and was on the FBI's radar months before he shot up a Buffalo supermarket. There he is. In the manifesto, he talked about replacement theory, anti-Semitism, and praised previous mass shooters who he really wanted to emulate these guys. How do we know this? Well, because the authorities released his manifesto almost immediately after the shooting. See? MAGA extremism. There's your proof. They wanted to show us immediately what caused all of this.
Oh, they went wall-to-wall coverage of this and had people crying about racist ideology against people with the dark skin.
Here, you can read it right here. We've got his manifesto. But when a transgender girl hopped up on testosterone shoots up a white Christian school, we hide Audrey Hale's manifesto and celebrate her life. In the days after the shooting, mainstream media was falling over backwards to apologize for misgendering Audrey Hale. Remember CNN misgendering her? And then the New York Times misgendering her, labeling her a he? The killer. They were so upset about this, and social media was filled with posts about how we need to be sensitive to trans people because a trans killer just shot up a Christian school and killed six people, including three children. Even protesters went to the Capitol in Tennessee and held up seven fingers to honor the shooter as one of the victims. Listen to the crowd and listen to the guy at the very end say, yeah, I think there were seven victims here. There were seven victims here. Listen.
Every death is a tragedy, y'all. Seven lives.
I'd say there were seven
victims. I'd say there were seven victims, he says. I'd say there were seven victims here. So how do we get this manifesto, or at least a piece of it? Well, a Tennessee police detective leaked the manifesto to Steven Crowder, and who then did a whole show about it. That's how we know about it. Three pages. Where he said this is a warning to other white Christians out there. Watch.
Hey, this is the byproduct of the kind of ideology in which all of our children in public schools are being steeped. It can actually help people moving forward avoid shootings like this.
Avoid shootings like this. So it's a call to, you know, it's a wake-up call. It's a rallying cry. You can read the pages. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, didn't Jim Jordan have a congressional hearing or something where they were questioning the FBI putting informants in Catholic churches?
Mm-hmm. Oh, of course. And also school board meetings. So that's where the FBI has been focused. But when the Buffalo shooter had months and was on their radar, or Audrey Hale perhaps was on the radar, now we learn from this manifesto, in fact, she writes about, she could have been caught, she talks about. She could have been caught days ago, weeks ago. Oh, why? Why could you have been caught? Were you? We don't know the answer to this because we don't have the full manifesto. Were you on somebody's radar that could have led to your arrest? Could have been a red flag warning. By the way, in New York, they have a red flag law, right? So if there is someone with a red flag, like the Buffalo shooter, they could have swooped in and done something about it. But
well, no. And Candace Owens has even more information she's going to be releasing because she got in contact with somebody. So she's going to be doing another huge dump from this.
Yeah. good because, yeah, we only have three pages so far. And they vilified, apparently, this detective who managed to leak this information to Steven Crowder. That's the only reason we know about it. Called him a viper. Called him a viper, they did, like, for releasing this information and saying you're exploiting the families. Oh, really? Exploiting the families for withholding this information that we should have all been made aware of? The families, perhaps, should have been made aware of this information? So you can read the pages of the manifesto as I have. It is horrifying. But if you post any of the pages on social media, like the printouts of it, Facebook, YouTube, and Reddit will take down your posts and close down. I've seen some accounts actually being closed as a result of it. So if you even show the images of the pages of the manifesto, they'll take it down. So you can't do that.
Well, to be fair, the Buffalo shooter manifesto was taken down as well. You can still find it. But
oh, yeah, it was suppressed in the first few hours.
Yes.
And Glenn Greenwald then posted it. And then it became, I don't know what, like, unfolded that allowed it to be on there. But you know, Twitter, I guess, is fine, or X or whatever it is. But if you post any of the pages of it, they'll block it. So Facebook will take it down immediately. So if you want to, though, now post the manifesto from the Buffalo shooter, you can go right ahead. No problem there. So instead of getting the rest of the manifesto out there, which apparently also includes a video that Audrey Hale recorded right before the shooting, what does she say in this video? Why won't you let us see it? Be interesting, right? We learned from the Columbine shootings and the videos that they recorded, we've got to see those videos. Instead of getting that information, they're now blaming Steven Crowder. That's the argument here. And conservative media, of course, they're going after conservative media, but particularly Steven Crowder, turning the story around away from the shooting and away from the anti-white, anti-Christian manifesto. So it's now about Steven Crowder. It's about conservative media, right? But I'd argue both sides are actually missing the real story here. Sure, it was anti-white, it was anti-Christian, but that at the heart of this story is the fact that this mass murder was hopped up on mind-altering gender hormones that we know cause violence, suicide, and other horrible side effects. Steven Crowder is right to warn Christians that these kinds of attacks should be guarded against. Hell, the media right now is totally silent on Christians that have been killed in the Israeli bombings in Gaza. That's it. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think we should clarify it may cause, does not cause, may cause. Like it's a possible side effect.
Yes, it's a possible side effect according to medical doctors.
Well, it's a known side effect.
It's a known side effect. And I think that's what I said. We know it's a side effect. Yes, that is according to medical research that is available on the National Institutes of Health website. So that's not me saying that. That's peer-reviewed medical research. Anyway, so the media is totally silent on the Christians that have been killed in the Israeli bombings in Gaza. It's like thousands of Christians that live in Gaza don't exist at all, and many have been killed. Silence there, so Crowder is right to call and raise these alarm bells about it. But the mind-altering gender hormones could very well be the reason for this psychotic mass murder. We went into great detail yesterday here on the show about how every mass shooting in the United States has one thing in common. What is that one thing that they all have in common? SSRIs, also known as antidepressants, as we detailed last night. All of them. And according to peer-reviewed studies, which I just mentioned, which you can read on the National Institutes of Health website, they have found, the National Institutes of Health published this, not me. I didn't do it. They have found higher rates of violent behavior or even homicidal behavior after the injections of testosterone. That, again, is according to the National Institutes of Health, not Clayton Morris. Disclaimer can be read below. You can read it right here on your screen. Again, this isn't me saying this. This is published research. And I'm sure they would love nothing more than to turn this story around to focus on, you know, Steven Crowder rather than acknowledge the trans mass shooter was using mind-altering drugs and has something in common with every other mass shooter in the country. All using mind-altering drugs. Let's continue to ignore this, by the way, at our own peril. And by the way, side note, we don't yet know about the Buffalo shooter. Authorities were quick to release his racist manifesto, of course. But what's interesting is that authorities haven't released his mental health records. We know that he was evaluated for mental problems shortly before the attack, according to the New York Times. and he may have been prescribed psychiatric medications. So why hide that part of the story? Where does this deliberate refusal to release the mental health history, including all prescribed psychiatric medications, come from? Like, who's pulling the strings on that? Let me know in the comments below your thoughts.
Well, because he's a useful artifact in order to make people of different races feel afraid.
Yeah. I mean,
disenfranchised and vote for then your party who says you speak for them when you don't.
I have a prediction. Can I say my prediction here? I have a prediction because it hasn't happened yet, or maybe with the Buffalo shooter was an example of this, that all future mass shootings in the United States, we're going to see now a suppression of health records because Big Pharma is starting to get nervous that we're onto them and we're doing stories about this and they are going to start suppressing these health records. Mark my words, you're going to start to see, like, why can't we find out? Like, was he on something? Oh, they're not going to release information. They're not going to release that information.
They also suppress the fact that, like, if you look at several, like Aurora and these other places, the FBI had contact with almost every one of these people before they did the act.
Yeah, exactly. All on radar, right? This is, you know, I mean, this was part of the manifesto that came out, right? Is that, so if she was on the radar of the FBI well ahead of time, this is just yet another example of being on the radar for a lot of these mass shootings. They were on the radar. Yeah, we in fact met with her. We met with him, the Buffalo shooter. We knew that this guy was like threatening all sorts of weird stuff ahead of time. But yeah, we just had to wait till it happened, I guess. So let me know your thoughts on this in the comments below. Are we going to see the suppression of more of these health records? Maybe not. Maybe we'll get lucky and this will be something that we'll be able to see after these people commit these heinous acts. But I have a feeling we're going to start to get that covered up from now on. Let me know in the comments below. Hey, we've got more news to get to here on your Wednesday. We're going to talk about how the Department of Homeland Security loves clamping down on free speech and also censoring what you do. We now have more evidence of that. We'll talk about that in a moment. But first, we want to tell you about our friends over at Shopify because, you know, our redacted store is built on Shopify. If you go to shopify.com/redacted, you can sign up for a $1 per month trial period to see how you can get your business online, up and running, and making sales quickly and easily. When we started the show, like, we're like, oh, starting a store was like the furthest thing from our mind. Like, we wanted to just focus on the show. And then people started asking us, hey, can we get like t-shirts? Do you guys have mugs? Do you guys have any hoodies? And we're like, oh, maybe we should build a store. But I don't know how to build a store. And Grim on our team said, we need to use Shopify because it's so easy to use. And it's very simple to get set up and running in no time. And we did. We got it set up in a short amount of time. And it's incredibly easy. Very, very easy. And it's Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. You know, from launching like we did, to a larger show now that we are almost 3 million subscribers across all of our platforms, to all of that. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout system, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms. And you can sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. So, fantastic right now. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the United States. If you go to a lot of websites, you probably won't even know that it's powered by Shopify. So if you want to sign up right now for your business, maybe you make, we've actually have a lot of entrepreneurs and small business owners that watch our show. And sometimes they're using Etsy and other things like that. But you might want to consider moving your stuff over to your own URL, to your own Shopify account. Build your storefront up and make it, get it up and running. And if you do that, let us know. Send us an email. Let us know. And we'll talk about your store here on the show. Maybe we'll give you some love and send a lot of redacted viewers over your way to check them out because we want to support our redacted viewers. If you have a small business and you're looking for some customers, hey, tell us about it. Maybe we'll talk about it here on the show next time. So go to shopify.com/redacted. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period and try it out and see if it works for you. So again, go to shopify.com/redacted.
Well, why is the Department of Homeland Security so busy censoring Americans' own speech? You'd think they were working on maybe securing those Americans, but they're not. They're censoring the very people they are meant to protect. A new report from the House Judiciary Committee shows just how much DHS and CISA, which is their Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, new government agency. Did you know we got this out of DHS, whether you wanted that or not? So CISA is a part of the DHS. We're going to talk mostly about CISA right now. They've been censoring Americans online with social media companies. I know it's a shocker, but this is more of what we have seen since the Twitter files started to be released last December. It's almost been a year since the Twitter files started coming out. For a year now, we've had incontrovertible proof that the government was using social media to censor even true speech and parody that the one party didn't like only. We know this. So we're going to see more of this. And it's important that we see it because the mainstream media seems really unconcerned about it because the narrative that's being censored is the same thing that they're censoring too. So they don't give a crap. But we give a crap because it is a violation of our First Amendment rights. And it is an overreach of the government. And we live in a society where we have decided collectively we value free speech. So are we going to act like it or aren't we? According to the report, CISA was in fact created with the sole purpose of controlling information online in the summer of 2020. Do you recall the summer of 2020? We were heading into an election between Joe Biden and Donald Trump, and we were in full effect with the pandemic lockdowns, vaccine rollouts, conversations that were being censored online even then around the true death rate of COVID, effectivity of masks, the origins of COVID. Recall those conversations were also censored. But the government can't just censor you outright. So they were using think tanks to do it. So here's kind of an outline that the Senate subcommittee put forth that the federal government, since they can't censor you directly, they were using this go-between of the Stanford Internet Observatory plus these other think groups. Now, let's keep this up on the screen for a second. What gives me pause is this G in the center. What that is Graphica. Graphica is the same group that accused the federal government of creating fake social media accounts in the Middle East. Do you remember this report from last year when it came out that the Pentagon was basically opening fake social media accounts to foment discord in the Middle East and conduct psychological operations? So Graphica, I'm just very confused. Why would the government choose Graphica to do this
wasn't
work?
Graphica who?
Go ahead.
Sorry, really quick. Wasn't Graphica also the one that got caught Facebook in that big controversy about sharing people's data? Wasn't that them?
I'm not sure if that's the
I'm
case.
Pretty sure it was.
You know what? It might be. So it's very strange that the government would use them to work with them when this is the same organization that found out the government was doing bad things. You'd think that they wouldn't want to. Maybe they didn't know because the report on the Pentagon was published in 2022 and Graphica was working with Stanford in 2020 to censor speech online. So I don't know. Maybe if someone who works for Graphica wants to tell me what they're playing at, I would love to know. Anyway, these think tank groups went ahead and produced information that the government used to punish people on social media. So what they would do was write up fancy reports around like what are the topics that should be censored for possible online safety, like people who were vaccine hesitant or people who maybe wanted to say that natural immunity was stronger than a vaccination. These are the topics. Here's a paragraph. Why? And then the government was using that to reach out to social media and say, tone down these things, cancel these people, downrank this, put this person in a timeout. Here's what they call it, according to the Senate subcommittee. They called it switchboarding. It describes the federal government's practice of referring requests of the removal of content on social media. So basically, they were using social media as a go-between to switchboard. Like, nope, you don't get to say that. You don't get like pulling the plug on a switchboard. We have seen from Twitter and the Facebook files that the FBI and other government agencies were giving pretty clear directives to social media. In fact, when they didn't get their way, they had big, fat, hissy fits. Like, why is this person still online? I told you yesterday they were a problem. We've seen that. The DHS was at least a little bit nicer. Here's an email to social media saying, You know, this is what we want from you, but look at the middle paragraph. But DHS affirms that it neither has nor seeks the ability to remove or edit what information is made available on social media. We make no recommendations. We're not going to take any action. We're just asking you nicely. We know we're not supposed to. We're not telling you you have to, even though we're the government. So it seems here they knew what they were doing was wrong. And in fact, a testimony confirms this. Here's from the committee report, a testimony from this Matt Masterson, who was a former senior cybersecurity advisor at the CISA, was asked, do you recall any discussions if there were any constitutional implications of what you guys were doing? And he says, well, I don't recall a specific conversation, but obviously lawyers were involved. For instance, around the disclaimer conversation, this disclaimer we just showed you, like, you know, we want to ask social media to censor people, but should we put this disclaimer in so we're telling them they don't have to and that it's not our business to do it? So, like, that's hilarious, right? Like, the bottom of your email signature says, we want you to censor these people. Disclaimer, we're not really supposed to be asking you for this.
Right. And also, I love that we only learn these things through lawsuits. You know, there was a time, I mean, we talk about America being the most litigious country in the world.
This is not a lawsuit, though.
Well, I thought it was litigation.
No, this is a Senate sub-select committee report.
Oh, but it was testimony. Okay, but it was under the oath testimony, yes. At least. Okay.
This is not being litigated right now. It is in the Supreme Court right now, but the Senate at least is digging here where there is plenty to see.
But at least it's on the record. I guess is what I'm saying is even there is value in having the Senate hold hearings on these things.
Sure.
Yeah.
Now, one Facebook employee said that executives of social media are wary at this because they're afraid. It reminds me of the quote from V for Vendetta that people shouldn't be afraid of their government. Governments should be afraid of the people. They're not afraid of us. But the social media companies and myself are afraid of the government. Look at this exchange. And I'm sorry, it's on two different page breaks, so that's why it looks kind of crazy. Says, you know, why can't you have a casual conversation with the FBI? What this guy was saying, a Facebook employee, was that, like, we're afraid when they come around because we could get dragged into something that we didn't understand. So the answer that says, I think the defense attorneys will tell you that the FBI agents are always looking out. You might feel like you're having a friendly conversation with them, but you never know if you're actually the target. And I think there's been a number of situations where companies have tried to engage the FBI because they were, say, victims of a cyber crime, and then they end up getting punished or their executives get punished. And, you know, dealing with law enforcement agency that has coercive powers is just a risky thing to do, he says. And so that's true. Obviously, the FBI is allowed to lie to you. That is one of their powers. The questioner continues, like, well, do you think that everyone feels like that at Facebook? He says, oh, yes. The policy of the company was that an executive could not talk to the FBI without an attorney present. And the questioner says, even if the government represents that the interests are aligned, and they say yes. He says, is this well known by tech executives? Yes. Everyone is aware, basically. He says, all executives of all public companies understand there's lots of parts of the government that can punish you for activity that you thought was appropriate. So they're scared. So as much as you want to sort of hold Twitter or Facebook or Google their feet to the fire for complying with this First Amendment violation, they're just as afraid as the rest of us. Now, obviously, they have a vested interest. Facebook wanted something from the government, which is for the government to go to bat for them in Europe. So they weren't doing the right thing out of self-preservation. Then you can decide whether or not you using Facebook for that reason.
I mean, when you have the FBI showing up to your company being like, you know, this sure is a nice social media company. It'd be a shame if something happened to it. That is a threat. Everybody knows that as a threat. So even though they're not directly threatening, they're the implication. Because I remember when we covered this with the Twitter files, and there was some of those exchanges we were reading, and one of them was basically that, where they were like, they weren't overtly threatening, but the threat was pretty clear that you will be punished if you don't comply.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and the thing is, they're still doing it. We saw that with the manifesto that just came out, that they're still doing this. But I thought that Twitter would have been an example for them to know that you can stand up to this and your platform will not go away because X or Twitter or whatever stood up to it. For the most part, I mean, there are still some lingering things there, but for the most part, nothing happened.
Well, that remains to be seen because we have a Supreme Court case now, which will decide how much the government can collaborate with social media. That is in the courts right now. Now, CISA, just we know this already, but it's good to see it in writing, eventually got tired of sending emails with lists of people they didn't like. So they eventually asked for a direct reporting portal. Look at this. Says, and again, here it says the DHS cannot openly endorse the portal, but we're asking for the portal. And here's some bullet lists of things that we would like. We know that they at least got access to a reporting software that only required a .gov email address. We know that that happened from the Twitter files. Now, the committee interviewed CISA employees and found out they weren't really that concerned. They said, well, did you know you're censoring Americans as well as foreign actors? And they're like, yeah, this, that happens. We're more concerned with the information, not of who's doing it. So, you know, if you're an American passport holder, you think you have these rights. The government's not that concerned with you having those rights. Now, all of this was done not to truly protect misinformation. It was done to protect information that had a right-leaning bent to it. You can tell because of the list that the Senate committee put together of all of these people who were censored, President Trump, Senator Tom Tillis, Newt Gingrich, Mike Huckabee, these media organizations, Candace Owens. I mean, you probably recognize these names. And then, you know, the reports just sort of compliantly said, I mean, it was a what's the expression? Wag the dog, right? Because the government would say, can you write me a report on why what Candace Owens says about George Floyd is dangerous? And then they would just do it, right? Anybody could do that if you know how to just sort of write propaganda. And then that was used to weaponize, sent to the social media companies and said, this is why we can't have this. Take it down. We would like you to. We can't ask, but we're asking. And that's what happened. The workflow was kind of like this. Again, this was on our taxpayer dollars. They started to, you know, give their projects names like Election Misinformation Project or Election Integrity Partnership. Like they're tamping down on this information in the guise of. So it was like, we have this committee. We start to, you know, hire people to write reports and emails. It goes through these think tanks. And then we use it and it goes back. I know this is not a beautiful graphic. I didn't make it. And it goes back to the social media companies and then they do what we want. If they could cut out the middleman and basically like just slice the chart and tell them themselves they could, this is a workaround, you guys.
Well, this is exactly what we do in other countries too to push out propaganda. We create these organizations that are like peace organizations or whatever. That's what they're designed as, and they're to spread propaganda to push the war.
Yes, yeah, and that's where we find ourselves today, you guys. Our taxpayer dollars being used to pay for fancy book reports, basically, where the government says, I would like you to write me a report on why it's dangerous to speak on behalf of natural immunity to any virus. Okay, great. They do that. And then that is weaponized against our ability to discuss those topics for real. That is still the case while the Supreme Court is hearing this case. And another reason that we're just holding on and crossing all of our fingers, crossing all of our toes, clenching our butt cheeks. All of that stuff. We are holding on, you guys, that freedom may still exist.
Speak for your own butt. Let us know.
We're all clenching our cheeks. Everybody clench your butt cheeks right now.
Yeah. I clench my butt cheeks every time I start this show.
It may work for something. Like, what if that was like a collective meditation where we're all like, hold on.
Well, I think Vanessa in the chat just a few minutes ago said, what if everyone watching our show right now, all 40 or so thousand of you, all of us farted at the same time. Vanessa, that was a suggestion, I think, from Vanessa. Similar, right? I mean, maybe that would do something, right? It's like if everyone jumps up and down at the same time. Like,
I don't think that's a good idea, because if you don't have to fart, you can make a mess.
Yeah, I think that idea stinks. I don't think we should.
So thank you, Vanessa, for that. I really appreciate that idea, but I appreciated it.
No, let's do the opposite and clench.
Clench, okay. Yes, let us know your thoughts on that in the comments below. I appreciate that. We should mention, yes, we have a community. You know, we don't get to talk about the community very often, but James Bartley just joined the community. And you can go and become a Redacted Rebel. All you need to do is go to redacted.inc. It's totally free, right, to watch this show. It's totally free on YouTube, Rumble, on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it. But if you want to support independent journalism and for the price of a cup of coffee once a month, you can become a Redacted Pro member, join our Plus Club, and you get exclusive content, access to interviews before anyone else, live streams just for our Redacted community, behind the scenes stuff as well. So all of that's there in our Plus Club. It's just a way to say thanks and support independent journalism. We are supported by you. And our sponsors, we have usually like three sponsors per show. They are brave. And so, you know, we usually try to keep it to three. That's and, you know, we have great companies that want to sponsor our show. And that really, really helps us to keep the lights on here, to pay for our staff, to pay for our servers, which are expensive to run this show. Again, it's a totally free show. You don't have to do anything. You just have to sit and watch. But if you'd like to support independent journalism, and like I said, for the price of a cup of coffee once a month, you can go to redacted.inc and join our Plus Club if you want to. No pressure. Again, it's a free show. You get it for free. We do the work. You get to enjoy it. And there's no cost for that. So we really appreciate it. Thank you guys so much for supporting what we do here. Yeah, Oregon Outback says, how much did Redacted pay Redacted for this ad? Mm. See, yeah, unfortunately, we didn't pay anything
You're
for
on
it.
To us.
Yeah, we didn't pay anything for it, unfortunately, because it's our own ad, so we don't do that. But thank you guys so much for all of your support. Really, really appreciate it. Again, our sponsors, they are very brave. Think about the companies like Nom Nom, for instance, like the support independent journalism. The stuff that we cover on this show and Nom Nom supports us, like, I mean, if you're thinking about, I'm just saying this, like, if you're thinking about buying dog food, why the hell wouldn't you? You know what I mean? Like, it's amazing that some of these companies.
And it's actually very good food.
Yeah.
Like, pizza loves the food. Like, it is actually very good.
For those of our viewers that don't know who pizza is your dog. Yeah.
Yes, pizza is my chihuahua.
Because people are like, what the hell did you just say? Pizza likes its food? What the hell?
Pizza like dog food. And David like pizza.
Whenever you say that, I'm like, oh, we need to remind people that pizza is the name of your dog. Yes.
Yeah. All right, that's going to do it for us today, you guys. We're wrapping up the show. You don't sound so good.
All right.
It's time. All right, thank you so much for joining us today. We'll be back here tomorrow, same time, same place. Please subscribe to the newsletter. Like and share the show. We'll see you tomorrow, everyone. Bye. Good night.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.